See? Why, so that's why he's why the cross needs to be applied in our life, why the fire of God needs to be applied. Because the choice is in the soul. And the Lord will afflict your soul with discipline and trial. Because he wants sin's hold to be broken off you. Positional truth will not save you in this hour. It's experiential truth that will bring you through. Amen? It's good that I'm forgiven, but that God wants me to preach something beyond that. That we need to come out from among them and be separate. The dead denomination, the unclean people that find, you know, they can get drunk on Saturday night and come out on Sunday morning and get drunk in the spirit. You can't get drunk in the spirit if you're getting drunk with the wrong spirits. See, there was tendencies among them. He's be not drunk with wine, said the writer. Right? It's not just what Jesus has accomplished, but what he yet wants to accomplish in us. To be totally delivered from sin. And I think there's not enough hatred for sin in the church today. And we need to cry out to God. The Bible says he will change our vile body into his glorious body. And in the revised version, it says he will fashion it exactly like his body. Praise God. I'm thankful for my forgiveness of sin. But see, Feast of Passover was pointing to something far beyond just being protected by, from the plague. It was pointing us to not have leaven in our house, not to entertain leaven. And when you let fear rule your life, you're letting leaven in. When you're letting perpetual habits rule your life, you're letting the enemy have his way. Amen? You're not called to be the devil's puppet. You're called to be God's child. God wants you to be his child. He's your father. And we don't want the father of lies. So the church is not preaching enough on coming out of sin. We're going over positional truth over and over again, and we will stunt people's growth with that. Even the teachings of the new covenant, they bring me into salvation and they can hold me in the door for a while, but we also need something further. It's called the preaching of the kingdom. See, I appreciate good, sound, foundational preaching. Brother Sunil was telling me he's establishing the young adults in foundational principles, and sometimes we need it, don't we? He wants you to get in the door, but he wants you to come in, but he doesn't want you. And the further away from that door you get, the deeper you go in, you can't look outside anymore. God wants us to go deeper in him. And what happened with the children of Israel? The spirit of Egypt beckoned them. They beckoned them because they stopped practicing what God had done here. And there are many of God's servants, and I associated with brethren who their teaching would astound you. But many of them died in false doctrine and in the wrong way. Because we can get so deep that we forget the elementary teachings. And God wants you to walk in it. Now, if you're in a church that people need the elementary, we cannot pass that over. We need to give that. Amen? And so we need to get back to the Feast of Passover. We need to realize that Jesus Christ has come not only to forgive us our sins, but to deliver you from the power of sin. Listen, if he can break the power of sickness over you, he can break the power. Brother Sunil and I were sharing, and the Lord's been impressing upon him through Bosworth a healing. And I just passed it his way that these old timers like Simpson and all these, even Bosworth, John Lake, did not just preach healing. John Lake would say, "Brother, you're coming into the waters of baptism." Now, I could smell the cigarette smoke on you, but that's not the reason I'm not putting you in the water. And God's not going to heal you either if you keep staying in this perpetual sin. And brother, when you've repented and come back to God, then you come to me. Then I'll water baptize you. And I thank God there's been a number of times that people have come to me. I had a lady about a year or two ago, and she wanted to be water baptized in the worst way. And she came in, you know, loaded for bear against Trump and all of this. And then she began to say, you know, her daughter was into homosexuality. And she protects her daughter. And she looks after her. And she doesn't want nobody to hurt her. And then when I told her, I said, we would love her if she came to the church, but we would not accept the sin. We don't accept that sin. And she got the idea that if she came to the church, that we would pick on her daughter. And she said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And that convinced me that this woman shouldn't be water baptized. Because she was a believer, so a confessor, that was endorsing the behavior of her daughter. Now, I'm going to say this. About 3 months ago, after a year or two, she apologized to me through Facebook. And I had nothing to say because I didn't think there was anything further to say, you see. God doesn't go for this type of behavior, does he? Because if you stay in that behavior long enough, you're going to go back into the world. And what's at stake here today is not people just staying saved, but people arriving at the throne, arriving at the goal. This is what is at stake in this hour. It's more than people just barely getting over the threshold. But it's the people receiving the fullness that God has set for us, that we can be delivered out from sin, from the power of sin. That's why he said Jesus will lay the axe to the root of the tree. I mean, you're glad for that. Now, there's one more verse of Moses and the Lamb that we need to read as we close this sermon. And this is found in Revelation 12. And this is the last verse. And I promise you this will be the last one. A lot of preachers are just getting warmed up at this point. I've sat under ministry. I don't know when they're going to get started. I don't know where they're going. And I surely don't know when they're going to end. And I've been hours of preaching and teaching. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Just take, they asked Wigglesworth, how did you get the power to heal the sick? He said, first of all, I never missed church. When the power of God was moving, I wanted to be at every gathering. Second of all, I couldn't understand the word, but I latched on to one truth. I said, God, I don't want this to be in my head. I want this truth to be in my life. I can't understand the word, Lord. And the Lord gave him that. And he shook the world with healing, you see. I'm going to tell you something. All God says is get a truth. What is God revealing to you? And preach it with your whole heart. Preach it with your whole heart. And so we're closing in Revelation 12, and I'm not going to get into this chapter. There's so many opinions on this. There's a lot of opinions on the man-child. There's a lot of opinions on it's Israel, it's Jesus again. My personal conviction is it's an overcoming company of people that have been trained by God. It's the same people that we read about in Revelation 15. Amen. And that's why I love the book of Revelation. It's a book of finality. It's a book of victory. It's not just a book of doom and gloom, but it's a book that shows us that the victory is here and coming. They shall have victory over the beast. And so let us read Revelation 12, and we're going to read verses 7 to 10. 7 to 10. This is the final verse, actually, of that same song that I believe, Revelation 12. And I believe that some of Revelation is historically fulfilled? And by the way, I thank God for the writings of Morrow. That man had a heart for God, and a lot of things he said was true. And I remember when I was teaching the book of Daniel in Bible school, my principal said to me, Bert, I'm not telling you how to teach Daniel, but I would love you to read Philip Morrow. And I realized there was so much of Daniel and Revelation that was fulfilled that I didn't know was fulfilled. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's parts of it that are not fulfilled. Amen. Because why are we here? Everything's fulfilled. Why doesn't he just catch us up to heaven? If everything's been fulfilled, we have no reason to be here. There are things that need to be fulfilled. And the time of fulfillment is at hand. Praise God. And if anybody appreciates history, I do. And I have volumes and volumes of a variety of history that I read. Because history and the prophetic go together. Here's what I see the Bible as, and I've told this to many. It's a history book for the past. It's a devotional book that shows me how to touch God in the present. But it's a prophetic book. It tells me how to believe God for the future. How many have believed in God for their future? Is this where it's going to end? Is this where it's going to end for Canada? I declare the word is coming from Zion, and God is going to cause deliverers to emerge. Even in this nation, Gideons, God is going to cause them Amen. I shared a message in Allentown, Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago. And I don't repeat messages. You know, a lot of pastors, if it's a big hit somewhere, they keep preaching it everywhere. It's the big hits. I don't preach those kind of sermons. But the Lord gave me a message. The pastor's wife was still chewing on the message. And it was, you're either going to be at the wine press with Gideon, or you're going to be on the treadmill with Samson. Which one are you going to be? Amen. And that treadmill goes around and around, and it's a slow grinding. But the wine press is where the wheat was preserved. Place of intercession. That's where God is calling many of us. Amen. Revelation 12, we're looking at this particular chapter. And we're looking at verses 7 to 10. And I told you I'm going to give you a happy ending to this sermon. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found more in heaven. I'm going to tell you, Rob, the devil is still operating in this earth. How many believe that?